Well, I think both ways. Basically, everyone was very, well, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know whether everyone was very happy about the ending of the Civil War. The Civil War created victors and vanquished. And the dictatorship deepened this division between victors and vanquished. So, on the other hand, the end of the Civil War brought an end to the hostilities and therefore to destructions, hunger, famine, which was a relief. But for the vanquished, it also brought retribution and vengeance. And therefore, I think that the end was a bit ambivalent, a bit ambivalent. In general, one could say that the atmosphere of civil war didn't end with the end of the civil war itself, but it was extended by the victors for a long, long, long while.
Are there any commemorations in Spain on the 1st of April?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, the civil society groups have commemorated the end of the civil war. Official commemorations have not taken place at all. To me, it's a bit surprising because the 70th anniversary is a round anniversary. It's not like the 72nd or the 58th. It's just a round anniversary. I personally was very much struck by the fact that it was the British who at the British Academy, which is the equivalent, so to speak, of the Royal Academy of History, organized a round table, excuse me, a round table to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Civil War in Spain, and not the Spaniards. But what can I say?
We'll talk about the present in Spain a bit later. Let's go back to the year 1939. Can you tell us what were some of Franco's first measures immediately after the end of the war?
Well, after the end of the war, I can tell you very, very clearly, it was to sign what we would call a secret decree, a secret law, which transformed the debts incurred in by Franco during the war towards certain international banking groups in Switzerland, in Portugal, and some other places as debts of the Spanish state. That is what Franco did on April the 1st, 1939. Apart from that, there was obviously the need to gather and to put in prison or in concentration camps many of the vanquished who weren't able to flee the country. And that went on for weeks.
What about the infrastructure of Spain? If I'm not mistaken, it was not being rebuilt for 2 decades after the war.
Well, the infrastructure was, of course, very much put to an intense use during the war, particularly railways and roads. And it is true that the recovery of the levels of 1936 was not achieved until the early 50s. In general, although the Spanish Civil War was not by any standards a very modern war, part of it sent, for instance, in Catalonia or in Valencia, was very modern because there was a lot of bombing and bombardment. In other parts of the country, the civil war was rather underdeveloped, a very pre-modern war. Nevertheless, the reconstruction of infrastructure and the recovery of the standards of living in Spain in 1935 was not achieved until 1952, 53, 54. So it was a long, 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 long post-war period.
Of course, we know that on one side there were the nationalists, Franco and his troops, and on the other side there were the Republicans, which were subdivided in various fractions. The anarchists, communists, socialists, and so on. What was the main reason for the defeat of the Republican forces? Do you think it was the lack of help from Great Britain and France on one hand, and the role of Germany and Italy on Franco's side on the other, or their internal disputes?
Well, that was the first factors you have mentioned were absolutely fundamental. Absolutely fundamental. It permeated the whole atmosphere and the whole environment of the war for the Republican side. I know that in much of the literature, the onus for the Republican defeat is put on the divisions within the Republican camp. But one has to take into account that many of these divisions were a product of military defeat. And military defeat was a product of the superiority achieved by Franco early on in the war, and of the inability to set up a modern army which would be able to counteract the Spanish men and material superiority. So I would add that the Republic had a great difficulty in setting up a conventional army which was able to confront the Franco army. But, you know, the Republic had lost the war by, May, June 1937. It has already technically lost the war. It couldn't win. It couldn't win. So one has to analyze the reasons why the Republic couldn't win. Because what the Republic did was basically to resist for another year and a half or 2 years in a very slow and exasperating agonical process.
Why do you believe that Great Britain and France adopted the politics of
this is very well known. Basically, non-intervention policy was a French idea supported by Britain. And the 8th of August, non-intervention became the official policy of France, and a week later, the official policy of Great Britain. They didn't wait until other participants in this non-intervention policy had declared its agreement with it. They were very fast, and it is now a very clear a very, very well documented fact that the decision by the French to proceed to the application of the non-intervention was in partly a result of British pressure.
Was that because they were afraid of Nazi Germany, or did they have other interests?
Well, the idea was to the theoretical idea, the rhetorical idea was to prevent the events in Spain from spilling over the European scene. That was the idea, but it was a false idea because both the French and the British did perfectly know that from the end of July, the Italians and the Germans were helping Franco. So therefore, basically, they knew that they wouldn't prevent this spillover effect into Europe. The British didn't like the Republic very much, and the French did like it a little bit more, but they were subordinated to the British, and they followed the British lead. And the British lead went up and down, but basically they didn't help the Republic because they wanted to separate Mussolini from Hitler, and in order to do so they were prepared to countenance Mussolini's policies towards Spain. So that was the main reason. a geostrategical and geopolitical convenience, as assessed by the Prime Minister of the time, Mr. Chamberlain, whose views weren't shared by the British diplomat, many of the British diplomats, I must say.
After the Second Republic was in place in Spain in 1931, if I'm not mistaken, there was some kind of a social revolution going on in Spain.
No, not at all. The Second Republic after 1931 was an attempt to modernize and to push forward the political, economic, and social modernization of Spain. That meant that, of course, the incumbent power, so to speak, the social, economic, political, and ideological powers that had dominated Spain up to that point had to be encroached upon. And that created a lot of tension. The Republic, because you cannot speak of a unitary republic, because the republic in its 5 years of existence, peaceful existence, went through different phases. There was a very quick modernizing phase from 1931-33. There was a reaction against that protagonized by the Catholic Church and Catholic parties. Between 33 and 35, and there was a new modernization bout after the success, electoral success of the Popular Front in February 1936. And then during several months in early 1936, yes, there was particularly in certain areas kind of social upheaval, because people requested a more thorough transformation of the landed property system, distribution of agrarian wealth, which was portrayed more or less as a revolution. It was not a revolution of any kind. The revolution started as a consequence of the military rebellion in July 1936, which led to the collapse of the Republican state in the areas where the rebellion didn't succeed. The government had to arm the people, and of course the people armed took immediately to the streets asking for the reforms which had been paralyzed or had not been carried out with great intensity so far. So the social revolution was not a precondition of the military rebellion, it was a consequence of the rebellion itself.
The rebellion was started by two generals, if I'm not mistaken, Mola and Sanjurjo.
Right.
How come that General Franco wasn't one of those two generals? He became involved a bit later.
Well, this is a very interesting matter. You know, Sanjurjo crashed died in an aircraft crash in Lisbon, near Lisbon, and of course that means that the rebellion was decapitated. On the other hand, Franco, who had the command of the Army of Africa, immediately received Italian and German help for a number of reasons, geopolitical and geostrategical reasons. And this enabled him to transfer to the peninsula, to mainland Spain, a part of the African army, which immediately gained control in southern Spain. That put him in a very advantaged position vis-a-vis Mola, because Mola, on the other hand, had met with a great success. Mola wanted to reach Madrid as quickly as possible, and he was stopped at the Sierra near Madrid. He couldn't go through. He asked for weapons. Franco didn't send him weapons, because Franco realized that he had the palm by the handle, so to speak, and and immediately developed ideas that he, as a lieutenant general, was outranked Mola and had to be, so to speak, the leader of the rebellion, which he did. He played his cards very coolly, very, very astutely, and he was able to become the leader of the rebellion in October 1936, a month and a half after the rebellion had started.
Okay, so on one side we have Great Britain and France not helping the Republicans, and on the other side we have Germany and Italy helping the Nationalists. How
right.
come the Republicans let the fighting between the anarchists and the communists break out?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that the Republic was basically losing the war by September 1936. The British government, the British Secret Service, the military intelligence, foreign diplomats agreed, the President of the Republic himself agreed that the Republic had lost the war by September 36. Now, the possibility for the Republic to sustain the war effort was heavily dependent upon Soviet help. Stalin decided to help the Republic at the end of September 1936. And by the end of October 1936, there were already Soviet tanks, Soviet weapons, Soviet artillery, Soviet planes coming to Spain. And the international brigades, who at the beginning had been organized by the Comintern in a decision taken around September 15th, and by October 20th, the first component of the international brigades arrived in Spain. Now, this availability of modern weapons and the increase of morale, which the improvement of morale went a long way towards increasing Republican resistance. Now, this had, as the Republican had put to the British in August, a consequence is that, of course, the Spanish Communist Party, which was a little party before the rebellion, became expansive, increased its popularity. After all, it was only the Soviet Union which was helping the Republic, and the party was, well, expanded considerably with members which were not communist at heart, but saw in the Communist Party the only party willing to go a long way towards the defense of the Republic. Now, this put the Spanish Communist Party in the first league, so to speak, in the premium league among the political competitors for political power in Republican Spain, which meant, of course, that the anarchists and the socialists had to accommodate the newcomer. The socialists did, the anarchists didn't. And this led to a number of frictions between anarchists and communists, which crystallized later on in May 36 in Barcelona, in Catalonia.
Did the Soviet Union do the best it could to help the Republicans, or was it withholding some of the help because the role of the anarchists in the Spanish Civil War?
No, not really. What you must realize that the Soviet Union at that time was not a great power. It was not the Soviet Union of the 50s or even the 40s. The Soviet Union was not had no experience in military adventures in Western Europe. They didn't know how to proceed. They did as much as Stalin thought they could. Stalin was the arbiter, the decision maker, the real decision maker. He always told the Republicans that the Soviet Union was not the mainstay for the Republican resistance, that the Republic had to be helped by the democratic powers, not by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union would help, yes, but as a secondary source. Now, the tragedy of the Republic was that that wasn't the case, because since the democratic power didn't help at all, the Soviet Union had to become, in the Republican view, the first main state. And the Republicans begged and asked and requested Soviet help. Stalin at the beginning complied up to a point, but in November 1937, he concentrated in China. He concentrated on China and left the Republic to its own devices. So for a year or so, the Soviet Union didn't help the Republic at all. It was only after Munich that Stalin thought that the rationale for his assistance to the Republic, that is to say, to demonstrate to the fascist power that aggression didn't pay, had not lost its value, and therefore it started helping the Republic once again. But it was too late, because the Republican army had by then collapsed.
Okay, so the Republican side, for various reasons, internal and external, lost the war, and that led to dictatorship of
General Franco.
Yes. Until the year 75, when he died, and then began the transition to democracy. For example, here in Slovenia, after the collapse of the socialist regime, it's almost 20 years now, and there is still a big topic is the reconciliation between the both sides, the side who collaborated with the Germans, and the other side, the communist side, who was the resistance, basically. Did Spain reach reconciliation between, let's say, the nationalists on one side and the Republicans on the other?
Oh, yes, of course. But reconciliation doesn't mean that the wounds and interpretations of the past have been sealed over. There is still a civil war, a three-year civil war is a big fracture in any society. And of course, even with reconciliation having progressed as much as it has in Spain, and it has progressed undoubtedly a lot, there are still very open wounds, very open wounds. There are still very many myths about the Civil War, because the Civil War split Spain into... For the point of view of reconciliation, you must not forget that reconciliation in Spain became possible only after Franco had died. So you say, in your case, 20 years. Well, I would say, in our case, 30 years. Because during the dictatorship, the atmosphere of civil war was artificially kept as a way of explaining the legitimacy of the dictatorship. And the dictatorship found its legitimacy in an alleged fight against communism. And therefore, the whole Republican experience was reinterpreted in the light of the need of the dictatorship to assert his claim of legitimacy in that fight against communism. In fact, the Civil War was not a fight against communism at all. It was a fight against the modernization, the forces, the political, economic, and social forces who wanted to modernize Spain, and those who didn't want Spain to change.
I have one last question for you. In Alicante, some civil society association was trying to build a monument for the victims,
yes,
for the Republicans who wanted to escape on the 1st of April, who wanted to escape Spain from Franco's regime. And since there were no ships leaving Alicante, they were killed.
Taking prisoners.
Okay, but there were also many killed, and the civil society association tried to build a monument and even gained funds from the Spanish government, but the local authorities of the People's Party refused,
yes,
that monument. How do you comment that?
Well, it's very simple. You know, the division of Spain in two parties or in two great sides, two camps, so to speak, in a way, remains, lingers on. And obviously, there is a party, I won't tell you which one, which is the successor, so to speak, of many of the people who supported Franco. And obviously, for this party, for these people, the enhancing of the experience of and anguish of the vanquished is not something which is very welcome at all. And therefore, in that respect, one can say that reconciliation, has not occurred. But this is politics as well. It's politics as well. Now, do you know what Orwell, George Orwell, said? He who controls the present controls the past, and he who controls the past controls the future. So, in a way, we are still discussing about the meaning of the civil war and whether the civil war, whether the dictatorship, Franco dictatorship, was a modernizing state in Spain or not, to what extent, what was the cost. This is a discussion which is unlikely to disappear.